The gospel is from Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said,
"Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?"
But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him,
"I will follow you wherever you go."
And Jesus said to him,
"Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head."
To another, he said,
"Follow me."
But he said,
"Lord, first let me go and bury my father."
But Jesus said to him,
"Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God."
Another said,
"I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home."
Jesus said to him,
"No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God."
The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Forgiving God, we come to you this evening at the beginning of our Lenten journey. Tonight, we will be marked with a cross of ashes to remind us of our creation, to remind us of our baptism, to remind us of our mortality, but most of all, to remind us of the journey that Jesus walked on this earth out of love for us. Open our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you, our minds to meditate upon your word, and our hearts to serve you and each other out of the love that you have poured out upon us. Amen. Tonight, I feel compelled to take a walk with you down memory lane. On Monday, I celebrated my 1-year anniversary of my ordination. That day remains one of the top 5 memories of my life. Zion Lutheran Church was filled with people. There were 2 choirs. And after the service, a meal where we all gathered together, not socially distanced, to share food and fellowship. Little did we know. The next day, I presided at communion at 2 of our congregations, placing the wafer into uplifted hands, wine being poured into cups. Little did we know. Later that week, I delivered the homily at the funeral of a longtime friend and brother in Christ. The church was filled with family and friends, and as we often do, we gathered for a meal afterwards together. Little did we know. Last year, on Ash Wednesday, I placed the sign of a cross in ashes on uplifted faces and preached about the ways that we could serve God and our neighbor during our Lenten journey. Little did we know. Last year, Ash Wednesday was like many others we have known, with communal worship, confession of personal and corporate sin, the imposition of ashes, and communion. Little did we know that we were about to stray from our usual Lenten journeys and descend into what one Minnesota health executive called a COVID coaster. We learned a new vocabulary: coronavirus, COVID-19, pandemic, flatten the curve, PPE, essential workers, at home school, Zoom. We began to practice staying at home washing our hands often, wearing masks, and maintaining physical distance from each other. The church's liturgical life changed drastically and suddenly. We were in a confusing time. Guidelines and recommendations from local, state, and national officials, public health organizations, infectious disease experts, congregations, synods, and churchwide seemed to change daily and were often contradictory. We found ourselves being more aware of issues of racism, political division, and natural disasters. We thought that at the most, we would be out of our churches for a few weeks. Little did we know. What do we know? Let's first turn to our gospel lesson. We are told that when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Knowing full well what lie ahead, Jesus set off towards Jerusalem with purpose. There was an urgency to go and accomplish what it was that he had come to do. The journey would take Jesus and his disciples right through Samaria. It was the most direct route. There was a long time animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans. Both Jewish and Samaritan religious leaders taught that it was wrong to have any contact with the opposite group. When the Samaritans heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, they refused to receive him. The disciples, angry, wanted to command fire from heaven to destroy their enemy. But Jesus rebuked them and said, "We'll go another way." The next part of the gospel is about following Jesus. The disciples appeared willing enough, but they had excuses. The first disciple said to Jesus, "I will follow you anywhere." But Jesus said, "The Son of Man has nowhere to lie his head." Jesus made it clear that he would always be on the go, and following him would not be easy. The second disciple wanted to wait and bury his father, to which Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead. Go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And the third disciple wanted to say goodbye to his family and friends. These sound like valid reasons. But Jesus' point is, you can't look back. Following Jesus means that we are called to be disciples wherever we are and all the time. Following Jesus means that life goes on around us. Births, weddings, funerals, jobs, illnesses, controversy. And in the midst of all that is happening, we are called to be disciples. When we choose to live as disciples, we cannot spend too much time looking backwards. It's like when you're driving down the highway. You can't keep looking behind you. You need to focus on the road that's ahead. If we spend too much time looking backwards, we will focus on the flaws and lose our place. As followers of Christ, we need to keep our eyes on the prize before us. Jesus is with us. He guides us and leads us, and he showed us what it is like to love God and love our neighbor. What do we know? We know that our sins are forgiven. Live into that forgiveness. Knowing what Christ has done for you, be grateful for the gift that you have been given. You have been given life. You have been freed to serve in your own way, as a pastor, as a teacher, a secretary or assistant, a professional, a nurse, a grocery store clerk, a fast food worker, a spouse, a parent, a child, a friend. Lent presents us with an opportunity to live into our forgiveness. It's like New Year's Eve when we make resolutions to improve things about ourselves. In Lent, we reflect on our sin. We rejoice in the reconciliation that we have received. And being Easter people on this side of the resurrection, we live in hope of what is to come. Lent is also a time to examine how we are living out the life of disciples of Christ. How can we more fully praise, love, and serve God? And how can we more fully love and serve our neighbor? All of our neighbors, those like us, those most different from us, and yes, even those with whom we disagree. On this Ash Wednesday, we do not know what lies ahead. None of us knows the number of our days. This Ash Wednesday service is like no others we have experienced. This morning, I asked our Plum Church secretaries what it meant to receive ashes on Ash Wednesday. This is what they said. Our ashes remind us of our mortality. Our ashes remind us of repentance. Our ashes make us feel humble. Our ashes are a badge that says death does not win. When we see the ashes on each other, our ashes are a sign of community. Jesus died for us, but most of all, Jesus showed us how to live. During Lent, we can be more intentional with the things that help us to grow in relationship with God and with each other. What do we know? We know that Jesus fasted. Are you giving up something for Lent? What will that enable you to do? If you're giving up a morning cup of coffee from Starbucks, what can be done with the money that you save? Consider giving it to the church, the food pantry, or another worthy cause. Are you abstaining from social media? What will you do with that time? Phone somebody, write a letter, read to learn something new. Can you fast from negative words and labeling others? We know that Jesus prayed. What petitions can you add to your prayers? Name specific needs in your home, in your church family, in your community, in our nation, and throughout the world. Pray for specific people, even and especially for those with whom you disagree. We know that Jesus cared for people. Jesus gave his life for us. Can we give some of our time and resources to help our neighbor in need? There are hungry people in our communities. People are living in the streets. Even in the midst of community, there are those who feel isolated and alone. How can we help them in their loneliness? Discipleship is not easy. It takes work. It takes daily prayer and reflection. It takes daily action. Little did we know on last year's Ash Wednesday what the rest of the year held in store for us. But we have had a year of growing. We built an online community. We learned new things. We formed new friendships. We found ways to reach out to each other and to our neighbor. We prayed together a lot. We fasted from communion for a time. We grew as disciples of Christ. Those things we know. Today, we begin our journey toward Easter and beyond. Let us keep praying, learning, serving, and loving. Serve the Lord with gladness. Thanks be to God.